Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, haha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel. If you enjoy what I'm doing, subscribing is 100% free. The end of the month, end of the year is here. Not the month, but the end of the year is here. We're going to start the end of the... we're going to start December with Fred Allen. One episode from Mr. Allen. 175th episode. The name of the series is Town Hall Tonight. The name of the episode, 175th episode, First Department Store Santa. December 23rd, 1936.
Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music by Peter Van Steeden, and our new feature, the Town Hall Varieties. New music, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight! Crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads the parade down Main Street to the Old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a hockey stick, and he's followed by those cheapskates of the drama, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join the merry throng. Everybody's going to the Old Town Hall. Everybody's going. Here they come, tourists.
This sightseeing bus goes to the Statue of Liberty, lady.
Not me. Let me out of Radio City Guide. It's Town Hall tonight.
Christmas shoppers.
If this is a department store, where's your Santa Claus?
You'll find Santa over by the radio counter, madam. It's Town Hall tonight.
Kiddies.
What are you doing, Filbert? The lights are out on the Christmas tree.
I gotta plug in my new radio set, Ma. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, I see Fred stopped in front of the Old Town Hall, and he's holding a sprig of mistletoe over his head and throwing verbal kisses to the crowd. Let's listen.
Quoth the raven, nevermore, folks. But the raven never did spend an hour at the Old Town Hall. Use both doors, please.
Evening, Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Dodge. Go right in.
Hi there, Chowderhead.
Now watch your tiny tongue, son. I'd like to be your father for about 2 minutes.
It's no dice, loudmouth. Ma'd never go for you.
That's what they all say, folks. You laugh and how, because the show's a wow on the inside. Let's hurry, 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 hurry.
Did you call me Fred?
I said hurry, Harry. And hurry, because we're opening the show with Riding High from Red Hot and Blue.
High or low? Let her go, Peter.
Life's great. Life's grand. Future. All planned. I'm feeling so happy, 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 I'm slap happy. So ring bell, sing song, blow horn, be gone. Our love never will die. How my ride, I'm riding, riding. So
Presenting that vainglorious, vituperative, valetudinarian, a vermiform vocabulary, Vox Pop's volunteer vegetable virtuoso, Volovan, what's his name, in person.
Thank you. Gosh, Harry, you left out my initial. Oh, and all the punctuation and everything. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before you lean back and stuff the cotton into your ears for the next hour, just let me read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, says that starting any minute now, his store is apt to be located one flight up. Hodge isn't moving, but he had a lot of yeast down in the cellar. The water pipes broke last night, and the store's been rising about 2 feet an hour all day. Well, Hodge says if the store isn't there when you pass by tomorrow, just look up and business will be going on as usual. So much for the commodity rise around the village, and now for the town hall news. I should have left Hodge where he was, I think. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Frank.
Thank you. The lights go out, and we we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. Utica, New York. A resolution demanding legislation that would compel personal licensing of all liquor drinkers is submitted at the New York State Grange Convention. Town Hall News shows how system might work out if all liquor drinkers had to carry drinking licenses. The scene? A tavern.
Here's your change, bud.
Thanks.
Now, give me a silver fizz, bartender.
Got your drinking license, brother?
Yeah, here it is, right here.
Sorry, I can't save you no silver fizz on this, brother.
Why, it's a drinking license, ain't it?
Yeah, but this payment don't cover the white of eggs. Read it.
Let me see that. The holder of this imbiber's permit is lawfully entitled to quaff in public places all concoctions containing gin, rye, and scotch to be mixed with sugar, lemon, mint, ginger ale, or carbonated water until further notice.
There you are. It don't say nothing about no white of no egg, do it?
No, but can't you mix me up a silver fizz without the white of egg?
Well, I can, yeah, but it'll be a morning glory.
Okay, give me a morning glory.
One morning glory, let it bloom.
Hey, give me a shot of brandy, bartender.
Where's your drinking license, buddy?
Right here, wise guy.
Hey, this is a hunting license, friend.
Okay, give me a shot.
No, sir, nothing doing, bud. You can't get saved in here without a drinking license.
Well, I got one someplace.
Well, you better find it.
Okay, I'll frisk myself. I'll be right back.
No, no, Dolores, this is on me.
Oh, but May.
Ballman, ballman.
Yes, lady.
One Manhattan with two straws, please.
One straw will be plenty, May. We can take turns.
Hey, could I see your drinking license, lady?
Oh, yes, here it is, ballman.
This only calls for cordials and straight whiskey, lady. There's vermouth in a Manhattan.
When I took out this license, I said, give me the works. And now you say the government denies me vermouth.
Well, we can thank Social Security for this. If we were foreigners, we could get vermouth.
Well, I'm sorry, Giles. You're out of luck.
Just a minute, Barman. I have my license here. This says vermouth, doesn't it?
Yeah, but your license ain't good for whiskey, sister.
Well, mine is.
Yeah, but...
No buts. Put these whiskey and vermouth licenses together and give us one Manhattan.
Yes, and two Dixie cups, please.
All right, coming up, Giles.
Okay, bartender.
Are you back, Stu?
You bet I'm back. Give me a shot of brandy and quit stall.
Did you find your license?
Sure, right here. Get a load of this.
Hey, this is the dog's license, bud.
Okay, well, then give me...
What do you expect to drink with a dog license?
Give me a pussy cafe. I'll chase it around.
Hey, go on and beat it, brother.
I gotta get a drink of brandy. I'm gonna pass out. Oh, get me some honey.
Oh, heavens, the poor man's fainted.
Get some water, Barman, water.
I can't throw no water on him, folks. He's gotta have a water license for that.
Hey, what's going on here?
This poor man fainted, officer.
Give him a drink of brandy, bartender.
I can't, copper. He ain't got no license.
Oh, he's white as a ghost. Do something, officer.
Okay, there's only one way to bring him to without breaking the law. Give me that shot of brandy, bartender.
Yeah, copper.
What are you going to do?
Now stand back, folks, and I'll breathe on him.
Oh, look, he's coming too.
Thanks. Where am I? Where's that shot of brandy?
You're getting it, buddy, the legal way.
New York City, New York. Down Hall News brings you a 10-second preview of New York's leading musical comedy, Red Hot and Blue. Red.
Me, Big Chief, Sitting Bull.
Hot.
Hiya, good-looking. Come up and see me sometime.
And Blue.
I'm getting out of this nudist camp. It's 20 below.
Baltimore, Maryland. Governor Landon returns to Baltimore to fulfill campaign promise and eat some good Maryland oysters. Town Hall News shows Governor Landon ordering oysters.
Here are your oysters, Governor.
How did you know how many I want?
The Literary Digest said you were going to eat six.
I'll make them wrong again. Bring me a dozen.
New York City, New York. Federal men arrest longshoremen and break up largest narcotic smuggling ring uncovered in years. Prisoner is caught receiving the dope. The dope.
Hello, son.
Who is it?
It's Mr. Allen.
Oh, hello, dope.
New York City, New York. Newspapers predict this will be the biggest Christmas since 1929. The post office is swamped with bundles. Express companies are working day and night. And Santa Claus himself is so busy, he doesn't know Dunder from Blitzen. Town Hall News brings you a penguin's eye view of overworked Kris Kringle ready to hop off tomorrow night.
Mary, hand me that road map so I'll know where all the chimneys are, will you? And give me those big red boxes. I mustn't forget to take the toy trains and hurry.
Keep your tunic on, Santa. I'm hurrying as fast as I can. And you better take those dolls, too, and those games and that candy.
How am I going to get all those things in that little sled? Now, will you tell me that?
No, but I will tell you. You're as grouchy as an old bear. Honestly, Santa Claus, what's the matter with you anyway?
What's the matter? I'm tired. I've got a headache. I don't feel good. And you stand there and tell me to take the dolls and take the games and take this and take that. There isn't anything else I ought to take, is there?
Yes, Santa Claus. You really ought to take us.
Why, who are you?
Two teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica.
Panna Troubadours have just played There's a Frost on the Moon. Now, on Friday night, Professor T. Fowler Ball, the eminent authority on butterflies, is going to speak here at the town hall. Professor T. Fowler's talk is called The Butterfly. Is it just an overrated moth in Technicolor? Now, on Saturday afternoon, oh, gosh,
Mr.
just when I'm
Allen.
Making... Quiet, please.
Hello.
Well, sir, I don't know what it is about that hello. It just brings down the house, doesn't it? Well, sir, I think that's all I should do here. Just write down about 400 hellos for the whole hour and let it go at that. Well, sir, then I could write a goodbye the next week and have it. Well, sir, they laughed when I put my leg into the goldfish bowl. They didn't know I was trying to extinguish a hot foot. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I'm going down to my girlfriend's house, so I thought I'd stop in.
Is it just a social call, or are you trying to get even for something?
No, my girlfriend's studying to be a mind reader, and I'm letting her practice on me.
Oh, boy, you're her homework, huh? If she keeps reading your mind, she'll end up illiterate.
I fooled her last week, all right.
You fooled her how?
Well, all the way down to her house, I kept thinking about a cantaloupe. I wanted to have a cantaloupe on my mind.
Well, that's sort of silly, isn't it? You practically have one on the end of your neck.
Oh, wait till I finish, then you can make fun of me.
Well, I'll try and hold in. The temptation is so great, you see. You went down to the girl's house with a cantaloupe on your mind.
Yes. She looked in my eyes, and I said, "What is it?"
What did she say?
A watermelon.
You see? The water on your brain must have fooled her.
No, I was drooling. That's what threw her off.
Why don't you go home and hang up your stockings before you take them off?
Oh, I'm not going home yet. Dr. Bond!
No, not Dr. Bond. The Freud of...
Come in, Portland. Come quickly, Clarence. Bring my charge.
Yes, Dr. I'm adjacent. If the sun were out, I could pass for your shadow.
Say, it looks as though the sun is out with that glare the doctor's blue serge suit is giving out there.
Make a note, Clarence. First impression of patient, distinctly subnormal.
Who's subnormal? You need... Not too nasal, Doc. I want to hear what's going on. Who's abnormal? You need glasses and a barber's address.
Confirms my suspicions. Strong pugnacious mechanism overlapping precautionary instinct.
Get me a cheap interpreter, somebody. What is this?
This is Dr. Bond, the great psychoanalyst, Mr. Allen.
What is a psychoanalyst?
He's a doctor who analyzes your psycho, I guess.
Oh, well,
as you'll see in just a minute, Allen, I've been called in on your case.
Yes, we hurried over from the clinic pell-mell. Does my vernacular annoy you, Doctor?
No, Clarence. Occasional verbal relaxation tends to bolster up one's conversational reflexes.
Now, look. If you two linguistic show-offs will quit talking like the N-Men in a polyclinic minstrel show, I'd like to know just what's going on here.
Dr. Bond can tell your IQ, Mr. Allen.
I didn't send for any psychoanalyst.
You didn't, know, but your radio listeners did.
We've been asked to ascertain how old you are mentally. Yes, people have been complaining about your jokes, Mr. Allen.
Radio comedians have got to raise their standards for 1937 definitely.
What do you mean? H.G. Wells says that anyone who laughs at a radio comedian has the mind of a 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Dr. Bond's test will show if you're sinking below your public, Mr. Allen.
Yes. And Clarence here is my guinea pig.
What's he doing up on two legs? Get down, sir.
What's your lack of restraint, neurotic?
Quiet, Clarence. I'll get on with the test. Are you ready, Clarence?
Yes, touche, doctor.
Quickly, Allen. Tell Clarence a joke.
For what?
Clarence has the mind of a 12-year-old boy.
Yes, if Clarence reacts, your humor is suitable for radio. Come, a joke.
All right, a joke. Now, let me see. No, I won't tell that one. It's too funny. Oh, yes, I have a good stale epigram here. What has no hair and sings?
John Charles Thomas.
You keep out of it. All the things.
Very well. What has no hair and sings?
A kettle.
Have you finished?
Yes, I've finished.
What was your reaction, Clarence?
A minus shudder. Gosh, that's too bad.
Yes, I'll have to resort to the moron's quiz.
Now listen, I'm...
Quiet,
not...
specimen. Proceed, Dr. Bond.
Very good. Mr. Allen, are you a teabag squeezer?
A what?
When you take the little bag out of the tea, do you squeeze it?
No, I generally drink my tea right down to the bag, then I bolt it.
Oh. A teabag bolter. That is significant.
You are married. You come home and find a man's hat on the hat rack. What is the first thing you do?
I see if it fits me.
Stunt his libido.
A fan dancer walks on the stage with her nephew. Do you look at her nephew?
No, I look at her niece.
Oh. Minsky dementia.
You wake up in the morning and see a three-toed sloth trying to get into bed with you. What do you do?
I generally move over.
Have you ever been hypnotized?
Yes.
Did you see any relatives in your trance?
Yes, my aunts.
Oh, boy, aunts in your trance. Hey, Mr. Allen.
Quiet, please. You're at a party, Allen. Somebody puts Limburger cheese in your girl's handbag. Do you say, pew and refuse to see her home?
No, no. I turn my head away and take her home on top of a bus.
When you're drinking a malted milk through a straw and the milk's all gone, do you make this noise?
No, no. I reach down and sop up the rest of the milk with a breadstick I carry just for that purpose.
Now, a woman is driving a car. She puts out her left hand. What does it mean?
Nothing. She's shaking the ashes off a cigarette.
How is he coming along, Clarence? His IQ is so low, I shall have to invent a new fraction.
Now, if you boys don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question.
Very well. What is it?
Which is correct? I are nuts or I is nuts?
I am nuts.
That's what I thought. Now we can get on with the fisticuffs. This is for you, Doctor.
Oh!
And a little one for you, son.
Oh!
Are you coming, Clarence?
I'm way ahead of you, Dr. Bob. Wait for me. I'm bringing up the medal, boy.
So long, Portland.
Pally, hello.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys sing Little Red Drum.
A beautiful red, red drum, and I train with the soldier boys. As up the street we come, wonderful is our noise. There's Tom and Jim and Bill, and Dick and Nat and Fred. While Widow Cutlass Bill and I march on ahead. With a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, and a tum-ti-yum-ti-yum-ti-yum. Well, there's bushels of fun in that, for boys with a little red drum. The engines came last night while the soldiers were in bed, and they gobbled a Chinese tide, and off to the woods they fled. The woods of the cherry trees down in the orchard lot, and the soldiers are marching to seize the booty the engines got. With a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, and a tum-ti-yum-ti-yum-ti-yum, when soldiers marching come, engines had better scat. With a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, and a tum-ti-yum-ti-yum-ti-yum, when soldiers marching come, engines had better scat.
They had better scat.
Of course it's all in play. Skulking engine crew that hustle that Chinese tide away.
A little white boy like you.
But honest or just in fun, it's all the same to me. And when the battle is won, my boys, then home again march we. With the rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat, and a tum-ti-yum-ti-yum-ti-yum, and a glory enough in that for boys with a little red drum. With a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat, and a tum-ti-yum-ti-yum-ti-yum, and a glory enough in that for boys with a little red drum.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And thank you, boys. Now, before we let the mighty Allen R. players loose, I'd like to ask all of you to remember one thing. Remember I, Panna, for the smile of beauty.
Oh, say, Fred, I hope you won't mind a suggestion, but I think that statement's a little too long.
Is it, Harry?
Well, look, Fred, more people are using I, Panna toothpaste right now than ever before, so that's certainly proof that they're remembering it, isn't it?
That's right, Harry, so I don't need the word remember after all. I'll just say, I panna for the smile of beauty.
Well, when it comes right down to it, Fred, you don't even have to say the smile of beauty.
Don't I?
No, you see, a beautiful smile depends on lovely teeth and firm, healthy gums. And I panna stands for both. Because it's the toothpaste designed not only to clean and polish teeth, but when used with massage to give our gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against gum trouble. So with healthier gums and brighter teeth, your smile's bound to be more beautiful. So all you really have to say, Fred, is Ipana.
I see your point, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, Ipana.
Well, now, wait a minute, Fred. It just occurred to me here that a one-word statement might be just a little too short.
Gosh, Harry, then what shall I say?
Well, just what you started with, Fred. Just say, remember Ipana for the smile of beauty. There's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the first actors to ever play a week's engagement in a theater and find the box office covered with cobwebs on Saturday night. The Mighty Allen Art Players. Thank you. Tonight, these vultures of the vignette present us Christmas sketch called The Life and Trials of Semaphore Biddle, or The Legend of the First Department Store Santa Claus. Overture, Peter. Few people today know that in December 1842, when Semaphore Biddle slunk into the toy department at Wangle's Department Store at Bay City, Michigan, history was in the making. Wearing his red suit and flowing white beard, Mr. Biddle was truly America's first department store Santa Claus. He was Biddle the man. But how did he get that way? Semaphore Biddle was born of two parents in Owosso, Michigan. In his early youth, he showed a peculiar trait. One day, Semaphore's parents took him to task.
Prudence.
Yes, Goodman?
I just passed Neighbor Jones on Main Street. He was wearing my Sunday suit, my corduroy. How come?
Semaphore must have given it to him.
Give away my corduroy?
Like not. He gave my best bustle to Widda Green yesterday.
The little wastrel. Where is he?
He's in the kitchen trying to open the cuckoo clock, fixing to give somebody the bird.
Semaphore!
Yes, boss?
Where's my corduroy sport suit?
I'll give it to Neighbor Jones, Paul.
You give away everything in the house. Your ma and me ain't got furniture, clothes, or chattels.
Who do you think you are, son? Santa Claus?
I just can't help giving more. I reckon I'm hex.
And what are you up to with my gun in your hands?
I'm fixing to give it to a man outside. Says his name is Daniel Boone.
Now, put that rifle back, son.
Oh, don't land in good, man.
Oh! You shouldn't have cuffed me, Pa. Jeepers, I hate to do it. Oh! Let that be a permanent lesson to you, Pa.
Oh, what's in you, Sam, making that mess on my new hooked rug?
You ain't seen nothing yet, Ma. Oh. Now, if you've got any objections, speak up, folks. All right, then. I'm giving the rifle to Daniel Boone.
And so, Semaphore Biddle left Bay City, a self-made orphan, to go through life giving things away. At school, he gave his books away and graduated ignorant. And even on his wedding day, Semaphore's fatal generosity dogged him to the steps of the church, only to undo him. The bride was waiting.
Emily Petunia.
Lord, I thought you was giving me the jilt, Semaphore. The minister's waiting.
There's something I got to say, Petunia.
You got the license in your windbreaker, ain't you?
Well, no, I ain't.
But, Sammy, I give you the $2.
I know, that's why I'm late. I saw a man needing some paper to tie up a bundle.
You didn't?
Yep, I gave him the license.
Oh, flush. Where's the ring?
Well, the ring was no good without the license, so I give him the ring, too.
You wait till after your wedding, Semaphore Biddle. You'll stop giving.
Well, if I got to choose between wedding and giving, I'm giving.
What do you mean?
You're marrying the best man, Petunia. I'm giving the bride away.
And so, after he had given connubial felicity away, Semaphore Biddle lost interest in life. He took his first drink of dandelion wine and liked it. And the best years of his life were spent carousing at barbecue stands, bibbing dandelion wine, and singing bawdy ballads. At the age of 50, Semaphore was up for membership at a Bowery Mission.
You want to register, derelict? Come, come, Bindle Stiff, stop crying. Your beard's starting to look like watercress.
I'm sorry, sir.
What's your name?
Semaphore Biddle. A bit of flotsam tossing on life's stormy sea, sir.
What caused your downfall? Bagatelle?
No. My fatal generosity. For 50 years, I've been giving things away.
A born Santa Claus, eh? But you've got a black beard.
Oh, my whiskers are naturally white, sir. I just got in from Pittsburgh.
I see. Well, the mission will shelter you tonight. Tomorrow we'll Simonize you and get you a job.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yes, here's a nightshirt and a pillowcase to put your beard in.
Thank you, sir. I'll withdraw for him and some coffee.
Very well, here's a pitch pipe and a spoon.
Would that I could give you something in return.
There's only one thing you can give me, my frowsy friend.
The air, sir?
Yes, sir.
Good night, sir.
And it came to pass that the mission was as good as its word. And the next morning, Semaphore, neat as a bowling pin, found himself in the office of Hector Wangle. Mr. Wangle drove a hard bargain and, as a sideline, owned the largest department store in Bay City, Michigan. In an effort to stave off the machine age, Mr. Wangle had phoned the mission for a porter.
You rang, Mr. Wangle?
Yes, Miss Petty. Did the porter get here from the mission?
I guess so. There's an ne'er-do-well outside with a long white beard.
Send him in.
Step in. Beaten one.
Thank you, miss. I'm Semaphore Biddle, sir.
The porter job pays $8 a week, Biddle.
$8, sir?
Yes, but your name will be printed on your bucket.
And you'll have a title.
A title?
Yes, Biddle, a title. You are vice president in charge of sleuthing. Start mopping the toy department.
Yes, sir.
A window display might help the toy department too, Mr. Wangle.
A happy thought. Biddle?
Yes, sir.
Do you know anything about dressing windows?
Oh, I couldn't dress a window on $8 a week, sir.
You can try.
Yes, sir. Pardon me, sir. Your foot is in my bucket.
Oh, you're quick to notice things, Biddle. You're going to make good.
And truer words were never spoken. Semaphore Biddle almost did make good. But again, his chronic generosity reared its magnanimous head. The next day, he gave his one suit away to a ragged floor walker and went about his task of dressing the toy windows in his underwear. How the kiddies laughed at the little man in the red flannel union suit and the flowing white beard as he put the rocking horses through their paces. When Semaphore finally left the window, the children followed him through the store to the toy department.
What's your name, little man?
Just call me Santa Claus, Ty.
How much is this monkey, Santa?
Oh, that's all right. You can have it, Sonny.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, Jesus, talking doll free, too?
Sure, help yourselves, kiddies, with Santa's compliments.
Oh, give me some cake,
Here. What's this riot, Biddle?
Oh, look, Mr. Wangle. Your toy department's practically empty.
Wonderful. How much money have you taken in?
Money?
Yes.
Why, I've been giving the toys away.
What? Why, here, you won't put those toys back.
Put them back.
Biddle, what have you done?
Well, I couldn't help it, sir. It's my old failing. I was born to give.
This is no time for maxims. You've given away my $40,000 toy stock.
You can take it out of my salary, Mr. Wangle.
$8 a week to pay me $40,000? It'll take you 96 years.
The Biddles are proud, Mr. Wangle. Posterity will pay off this money if it takes 3 generations.
Bah! Posterity will be nothing but Santa Clauses.
And Mr. Wangle was right. The debt hasn't been settled to this day. And that is why at Christmas time, you see the department stores filled with little men wearing red suits and long white beards. They are all descendants of Semaphore Biddle, who are born to be Santa Clauses until Mr. Wangle's debt is paid. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. We have a gentleman with us tonight whose name is Legion in Hollywood. A yes man. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Jameson?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Now, what are your duties in Hollywood, Mr. Jameson?
Well, I say yes to everything.
For 3 years, I've said yes. I've never once ever said no. Yes.
Well, just make yourself at home here, Mr. Jameson. This is Harry Von Zell.
Yes?
Yes, he's the man who gives those helpful hints about Sal Hepatica. And...
Oh, yes, yes. I'm quite familiar with Sal Hepatica. Every time I feel logy or under par, I always depend on Sal Hepatica to help get me back to normal again.
Well, Mr. Jameson, did you know that Sal Hepatica was excellent for colds, too?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a professional yes man say no.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Allen, but that statement of Mr. Von Zell startled me. What was that you said about Sal Hepatica being good for colds, Mr. Von Zell?
Well, physicians say you can often throw off a cold more quickly by doing two important things at its very beginning. Remove waste from the body and help nature combat the acidity that frequently accompanies a cold. And since Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that does both of those things at once, it's a very effective way to start fighting your cold the modern way. Get plenty of rest, of course. Drink lots of liquids and watch your diet. But first, above all else, put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. It will certainly pay you to remember Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours are playing It's De Lovely from the show Red Hot and Blue.
Mother Nature murmuring low.
Let yourself go, so please be sweet. I'll take a deep, and when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful,
it's delicious,
it's delectable, it's delirious,
it's the limit, it's the limit,
it's the looks, it's the lovely.
Town Hall Varieties. And now the stage of the old town hall becomes a showcase for the artists to be presented here tonight. Some of them are youngsters seeking recognition. Others are veterans of the stage looking to radio as a new medium for their talent. As Fred leads them up to the microphone here, let's give them a real town hall reception. Come on.
Gentlemen, tonight our town hall committee has selected tonight's acts because we feel that these artists have unusual talent. It is a privilege to present these acts weekly and to bring them to the attention of the network audiences, agents, managers, and producers in hopes that some of the excellent acts rampant today will have an opportunity to further their interests in the world's, or in the world, rather, taking in too much territory there, in the world of entertainment. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present to you what I think is the greatest harmonica aggregation in the country today. Cappy Barra's harmonica band. I want to tell you, boy, who is the manager of the band?
The manager's right here, but I'll do the talking, Mr. Allen.
Oh, yeah. The manager doesn't speak for the boys, huh? Not publicly. Privately, I suppose he has plenty to say.
Oh, he does. Yes, he does.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, fellas, that I think that you have a swell act. I saw you at the music hall 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then only last week, I think it was, I saw you at the Roxy.
At the Roxy.
I get it. That was sort of an all-musical show at the Roxy. Banjo on my knee was picture, and harmonicas on the stage was the headline for the
picture. You liked the thing, Mr. Allen.
I liked you in both places. It just
Thank
shows you. Well, I don't... Say, I didn't... I don't know whether we should stick to the harmonicas or go in for impersonations. Which of these...
I could get even by playing a harmonica. Better let the whole thing go. Uncle Jim told me I was going to ask you, what does the name Capybara mean? Is that a name of one of the boys?
No, Capybara is a fictitious name as far as we're concerned. We were looking for a swing name like Casaloma.
Oh, I see.
We went to the zoo one day and we happened to see an animal called Capybara.
Capybara.
Sort of a South American sloth or a bear.
Oh, it's a big rat or something. It is. The capybara is the largest South American rodent. I ran across it in a crossword puzzle some years ago. Where I met some of my best friends, incidentally. There's nothing I can say. I'm just going to ask you what you're going to play for us tonight. I heard you play the Flight of the Bumblebee the other week. You going to play it tonight?
We will, Mr. Allen. That's our featured number. But before that, we'd like to play When Did You Leave Heaven?
When did... Nothing personal.
No.
When Did You Leave Heaven with the vocal chorus?
Yes, the vocal chorus and the solo of the Bumblebee, both done by Leon LaFell, one of our boys.
Leon LaFell.
And we're kind of a little nervous that we're flying to Detroit right after this program.
Oh, you open at the Fox Theater
Fox
in Detroit
next.
That's right. Uncle Jim told me. When do you open? Friday?
We open Friday with a big Christmas show.
Well, fine. I hope you have a swell week there, fellas.
Thank
I was going
you.
To ask... I wish that's all there was to it, but I'm off... But it's like Portland's hello. If I could just make hello and thank you, just what goes between those things that causes all of my trouble. Well, you're going to play Flight of the Bumblebee. Rimsky-Korsakov, isn't it? Rimsky may have known his music, but he never did know the bumblebee. It never flies away, actually, when it gets going.
Of course.
Well, go right ahead. All right, all right.
I am only human, but you are so divine. When did you leave heaven, angel mine? When did you leave heaven? Whoa, why did they let you go? How's everything in heaven? I'd like to know. Why did you trade heaven for all these earthly things? Where did you hide your halo? Where did you park your wings? Have they missed you very much?
Can you get back in?
Can you always get back
if
in?
If I kissed you.
Oh, I wonder what you do. Would it be a sin? I am only human, but you are so divine. When did you leave heaven, angel
Thank you. That was Capybara's harmonica band. Thank you, boys, and I hope you have a pleasant week at Fox Detroit Theater. And now, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, Santa Claus. Ladies and gentlemen, last Christmas, you may remember, we invited Santa Claus here to the town hall for a personal appearance at the microphone. And this year, we wanted to keep faith with our listeners, and so we have invited our own personal Santa Claus back for another welcome appearance. Mr. Van, how are you tonight?
Very well, Mr. Allen. A happy New Year and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You've got the order reversed. I hope you're not carrying on your Christmas business that way.
Well, I expect to be somewhere New Year's before I get there.
Oh, before? Well, I'll make some notes on this byplay here and try to get it straight. I was going to say, if you wish people a happy New Year before Christmas in the Santa Claus game, you'd come into the houses through the cellar and leave through the chimney. That's what I was trying to say, but I may as well drop the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Van is a professional Santa Claus, and I think at this season of the year, a Santa Claus is more or less like a hot cross bun maker. He comes out at certain seasons of the year and functions briefly and disappears for the balance of the year. Mr. Van, if it's not too personal, I would like to ask you a few questions about the Santa Claus. You're having a cold, have you?
No, sir. The last liquor I had.
Oh, well, Santa Claus, I often wondered how the old boy got so bulbous and giving away secrets of the trade. I was going to ask you some questions about the Santa Claus business. Do you mind answering them?
No, sir.
Are conditions better for professional Santa Clauses this year than they have been for the past two or three years?
Well, I think they will be, but according to what I've read in the paper, they're going to have a professional school of Santa Claus.
I heard something about that. That'll sort of overcrowd the market, won't it?
Well, I can't imagine an 18-year-old boy doing a Santa Claus.
No, they'll be rather anemic, but a year like this, I prefer the old-fashioned keg-shaped Santa myself.
The buck beer Santa Claus.
The buck beer, yes. I mean, it must be confusing for children around the town. They go into Macy's and see a big, fat Santa Claus walk over two blocks, and there's a little short man who's thin Santa Claus. I know a family. The lady was shopping down on 14th Street, rather, early in the week, and left the baby alone with Santa Claus for an hour or so, and came back, and the child had a dialect. But we want to welcome you here, Santa, minus your reindeers, fortunately. They've brought about everything else into the studio here at one time or another. I think the first man who comes in with a reindeer will not only establish a precedent, will make a record for leaving the building quickly. You'll walk in the halls here, you'll have to see anything. Well, Santa Claus, I'm just going to ask... Is your beard tickling you, is it? It must be embarrassing to be a Santa Claus out in Hollywood if they don't like you on Christmas Day. You have to come back again in the middle of January for retakes. It must be upsetting.
Yes.
But you're going to play us a Christmas jingle on your saxophone, your pipes?
Well, I'm figuring on playing you a little solo that is played years ago and sang years ago by some of the best minstrel singers known. Dick Jose, Billy Emerson knows. It's a little ballad titled Roll On, Silvery Moon.
Oh, did J.K. Emmett used to sing that?
Yes, he did, sir.
I think I heard him many years ago.
Yes.
This isn't a request, is it?
No, this is just...
Well, I think this will be a novelty. We'll probably be the first two ever on the air to do a number that wasn't requested. It must be a novelty. Will you go right ahead? Thank
all
you very
right,
much.
My man. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Ernie Van playing us his Christmas visit at Santa Claus. That was swell, Ernie. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Jimmy Shields. Jimmy, you don't mind my calling you James, do you?
No, not at all.
You are from Hamilton, Canada, originally,
right.
Are you?
Right.
Or are you still from there?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well,
but you have did you study voice in Hamilton, or did you come down here to study?
In Hamilton and Toronto.
And in Hamilton and here, Toronto. Yeah. Have you been doing concert work in Canada,
and
have you?
Radio, yes.
And radio, too. Mm-hmm. I haven't been up there for so long, really. I don't know what's going on there, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yes, they have radios up there now.
Oh, that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't. I know they have radios. You should read some of the letters I get occasionally from fans in reverse. They come from all over. So we've discovered about every place where they have radios. But I was just interested in knowing where you've done most of your singing. And I'm going to ask you what you're going to sing tonight.
All I'm going to sing, Tell Me Tonight.
Tell Me Tonight. All right. And will you excuse me?
Sure.
With pleasure?
With pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
I should be happy, and yet I've had no peace since we've met. Sometimes full of hope, at times despairing, caring as I do. Now for your answer I wait. Why can't you tell me my fate? You must know how much I love you. Tell me that you love me. Love, I give you my heart. If you would take this gift I bring you, tell me tonight. Love, if I must depart, if you would hush the song I sing you, tell me tonight. Never again, my love, refrain will greet you, neath the moon's dreaming light. Say with those lips divine that you'll be
excellent, too. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present the three Marshalls, Peggy, Kay, and Jack Marshall. Good evening. Which are you, may I ask?
I'm Peggy.
You're Peggy?
Mm-hmm.
And then
that makes me Kay.
That makes you... Well, I have nothing left to guess. This must be Jack, then. this is really all one... Is the mic too... Oh, you're not going to use
no,
this mic?
No, we're going to use the camera.
I was going to ask you if it's too high for me. Let me see, what was I going to say? Oh, you're all one family, aren't you?
Yes,
ma'am. You really are.
Yep.
And, it's certainly nice to see a family that has so much harmony in itself that there is enough left over to share with the outside world. Because I have had the pleasure of hearing your singing, and it really is excellent. I've been a little embarrassed the last few weeks. We have so many fine acts coming up to entertain us, and we seldom do anything to entertain them.
My bad.
that's the consensus. And I was just going to... I had a story I was going to tell you tonight, but I've just been advised by the vice president in charge of Don't Talk Too Long to ask you what you're going to sing tonight.
I can give you anything but love.
love. I can't give you anything but love.
All right. Jack didn't have anything to say. Is it all right?
I'm saving it for a rainy day.
For a rainy day? All right. There'll be plenty of conversation around the house. The three marshals singing, I can't give you anything but love. You all set? We have presented tonight. And now, another young artist with ambition who is going places. Go, Peter.
Thank you very much, Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, before Fred lets you in on the carefully guarded plans for next week's show, may I read you our Christmas card. Our Christmas card to you. The sponsors of Town Hall tonight, Fred in Portland, Peter Van Steeden and his orchestra, the Mighty Allen R Players, and myself, wish every one of you the merriest and the happiest kind of a Christmas. Is that right, Fred?
Yes, Harry. You've said a verbal stocking full, I might say. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Fred spelled Ipana, Alan spelled Salhepatica saying goodnight. And don't forget that next Wednesday evening, Town Hall Tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
You ain't a-taking my gun away, Sheriff.
Yes, Luke. You're shooting galleries in receivership.
Weather report.
Thursday, snow. Friday, snow. Saturday, shovel.
And music.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.